Okay, good afternoon students. Welcome to this lecture. This is kind of consolidating what you have already learned from your previous classes, previous lectures, and I'm going to talk about several different things today to consolidate what you have already learned. So I have told you several things about contoids and vocoids, consonants and vowels, and the vocal tract and their relative positioning, and the time is now come to consolidate all of them together in two concepts of configuration and place and manner of articulation. It is a common thing over the years to find students in the initial phases struggling to understand the concepts. And therein lies the crux of the entire course, so to speak. Now we always look at the vocal tract as an anatomical device, as part of our biology. But how does that help us understand what is going on in the framework that we are presenting? We are trying to look at a framework which ultimately should be made realistic, in the sense that the sound that actually comes out from this system should be able to be identified with one or the other languages that are there in the world, and that is what makes it possible to think of this vocal tract as a system. As a system that would generate some sounds that are linguistically invariant. That means that as far as languages are concerned, it does not change. The system does not change. It is the self-same system, it is the vocal tract that uses this. The language system uses this vocal tract as a production mechanism. So we have a concept called the vocal tract place. It refers to the constriction or the narrowing. Now imagine that your tongue is raised up and you are producing a certain sound with that raised configuration, and then you relax the tongue back and change the position of the tongue to take it back, but at the same time having some position, another position. So this means what? This means that the vocal tract has changed shape by a voluntary action on your part. You have consciously chosen to move your articulator, the tongue, from one position to another position. So when this vocal tract is changing shape because the articulator has changed position, it means that the output sound that it will produce will also change. It is as simple as that. So there is a link in the chain. So what we observe in the physical world, this physical vocal tract, the configuration, the position of the tongue, or position of the other articulators, the shape of the vocal tract, which position is constricted, which position is narrow, which position is broad, all these things are part of the articulatory description. So when the articulatory description is there, it is the starting point of the link in the chain. From there, you have to conceptualize that this position of the articulators, they are describing a fixed point. Suppose you hold your position hold your tongue position and the lip position at a particular point, and you start articulating some sound like ah, e, oo. So these are all vowel sounds, as you know, the vocoids. So this affects a change in the position when the different vowels are coming out. So effectively what is happening is that I am changing the configuration of my vocal tract. So the first thing is the first thing that we see is that the change in shape or the position, or both shape and position of the articulators. That is step number one. And this is a physical description. It changes from position A to position B. It changes from location A to location B. It changes shape from a rounded one in the front to a rounded one at the back. Or it is raised at the top, raised to the top at the front or at the back. Or your mouth cavity is open. Or that the nasal cavity is closed because the velum is up. So these are all descriptions. This is called articulatory description. So this is descriptive system that is in place. A description is the starting point for conceptualizing what is happening, for understanding what is happening. So what is happening? When this description is there, then you can imagine that if there is a change in location or the position or the shape of this vocal tract or the articulators or together both of them, then it is giving rise to a change in configuration. What does configuration mean? Configuration means the change, it means the shape of the vocal tract and the positioning of the different articulators in that shape. So if you just look at the mid-sagittal section, you will find that there are number of articulators which can move. So those are the active articulators. So if they change their position, that means they are changing the shape of the vocal tract. And that means when they change the shape of the vocal tract or the position, that means it is changing the configuration. So this configuration change is the result of the change in the physical position. So the starting point is the physical description. In the traditional sense, in the traditional usage, this is what is known as descriptive phonetics. Then, when there is a change in configuration, the output sound that is coming out from the system also undergoes a change. So this will have to be studied through acoustic phonetics. So if you're looking at the acoustic nature of the sound, that is the nature that is studied from the physics, from the physics of the sound that we want to understand and analyze. So this goes beyond the traditional descriptive phonetics. So this is part of what is known as the acoustic phonetics. We will come to the acoustic part a little later. But first, let me understand, or let us together understand what is happening in the vocal tract in the further dimension. So there is this, in the traditional usage, a point on the top roof of the mouth or at the lips, starting from the lips right up to the larynx position. There are places along the vocal tract which are of importance. We start from the lips. Two lips are there, so two means bi. Lips is the location, and so the Latin term for lip is labia, labia. So from there we get the term labial, which describes of the lips or related to the lips, labial, labial. So there are two lips that are involved, so it is said to be bilabial. So the description, whatever is concerning the lips, the two lips together, they are called as bilabial. If you move a little bit backwards, then your tongue, the tip of which, tip of the tongue can touch the lips. Or the tip of the tongue can touch the teeth. So now there are two articulators that are involved. One is the active articulator, the other is the passive articulator. The active articulator is in this case there is the tongue, and the passive articulator is the other part which it is touching, either the lip or the teeth. So if the tip of the tongue, which is the active articulator, touches the passive articulator, which is the upper teeth, the tip of the upper teeth, or at the back side of the, just at the back of the upper teeth, so this gives us the concept of two articulators. One is the the tongue, and then the teeth. So the tongue touching the teeth, it is called the dental. So it is a location that is identified as an important location. A lot of sounds are produced from this particular point where it is touching, or where it is constricted, where it's narrowed sometimes. So most of the consonants will be described in terms of these locations. So remember that. Then between the first one, that is bilabial, and the dental, there can be a situation where the lower lip will touch the upper teeth, the tip of the upper teeth. So now that will be described as labiodental, because dental is concerning the teeth. So the origin of the word dental is from denture, which is from the Sanskrit dant, that is now called as dant in Hindi and other Indian languages. So the word dental is very easy to identify. So because you are also involving the lips, the touching the lips, lower lip to the upper teeth, and producing a sound like or so the fa and the va, so these sounds are called the labiodental sounds. So you see that we have three locations now. Those are important locations. So if you draw a straight line in the vertical manner, which cuts across the top roof of the mouth, starting from the which actually cuts across the vocal tract, which shows the lips at the on the left hand side, and the pharyngeal wall on the right hand side, that is going backwards towards the larynx. So you see the first position is the bilabial, the second position is the labiodental, and then the third position is the dental, where the teeth are touched by the tip of the tongue. So if you move your tongue backwards a little bit, so that it touches that portion of the roof of the mouth which is just after the teeth finishes inside the gum. So you can see, you can feel it with your tongue, that there is some raised portion, a little bit rounded raised portion, and it is a little rough. There are some small protrusions, like a rough skin that is there. So that part is called the alveolum. A-L-V-E-O-L-U-M. So alveolum is the name given to that section. And the adjective that is used is called alveolar, A-L-V-E-O-L-A-R. So when you convert alveolum, that is a noun, into an adjective, it is alveolar. So you will have alveolar sounds, which is produced by the constriction or the narrowing or the stoppage of air when the tongue touches the alveolum. If you move a little back from there, you will see that there is another location. If you just draw another line just after this point, so this will be called as post-alveolar, because alveolar is referring to the point where it's the middle part of this rounded raised portion just behind the back of the tongue, the back of the teeth, backside of the teeth, inside your roof of the mouth. And so if you just move a little bit backwards, then it is called the post-alveolar. And just after that post-alveolar comes the actual roof of the mouth. The actual roof of the mouth is called palate. P-A-L-A-T-E, palate. So this palate, it's not plate, it is palate, P-A-L-A-T-E. So this palate is distinguished by two different sections. It is divided into two different sections. One is the hard palate, and then there is the soft palate. So the hard palate is till that point where this roof of the mouth is bony. So if you move your tongue backwards, start feeling the top of the mouth and bring your tongue backwards, there is a point where the bony structure gives way to soft tissue. It's quite a little bit back in your mouth. So you can either use your finger to touch and see, but that gives you a gag reflex. Sometimes people don't want to do it. So you can use your tongue to try and feel by going, taking the tongue backwards inside your mouth on the top of the roof of the mouth by touching and feeling. And you can come to a point where you will see that the bone ends and a soft tissue begins. So that part till where the bone is existing, that is called the hard palate, because it's hard to the touch. There is bone inside, so it's hard palate. After that is the soft palate, and the soft palate also has a name. The soft palate is also called the velum. So it's a muscular structure. It is under your voluntary control, and you can move it up and down. At the end of the velum is a low hanging structure, like a rounded structure, which is called the uvula, U-V-U-L-A. And you have seen it in the diagram that is there. If you look at the mid-sagittal diagram, which you have drawn as part of your practical, you will see that these points are easy to identify. So these are the points where you have some terms that are described. So let us go, we have done three or four of them, up to alveolar I have done. And then you have post-alveolar. And then after post-alveolar, because it is concerning the palate, it is called palatal, P-A-L-A-T-A-L. So the palatal part, that range, that region, is divided into palatal and post-palatal. The second part of the palate is known as post-palatal, and the first part is known as palatal. Sometimes people make it three-way division. They call it pre-palatal, palatal and post-palatal. I don't find that useful. So you can have palatal and post-palatal. So just divide the palate section into two equal halves, and the second half at the back towards the back will be the post-palatal. And just after the postpalatal ends at that point where there is soft tissue comes in, so that is the start of your uvula. So any constriction at this range, the velum, so any constriction at this range will be called as a velar. From velum you have velar, just like alveolum to alveolar, you have velum to velar, V-E-L-U-M, velum to V-E-L-A-R, velar. And then you have the hanging part, which is the uvula, U-V-U-L-A, uvula, which when you convert this name, this noun, into an adjective to describe the sounds that are emanating from that area, it will be called as uvular, U-V-U-L-A-R. So these points along the vocal tract, they go along, and then after the uvula, you will have the back wall of the pharynx, of your throat, back wall of your throat, that is the pharynx, P-H-A-R-Y-N-X. And just after the pharynx will be the larynx. The larynx, which is the Adam's apple or the voice box, which is where the vocal cords are located, where you have that plane, so you have a reference point over there, which is the laryngeal plane or the glottal plane, so which passes through the middle of the larynx, so which basically divides the entire system into two halves, which is the supraglottal and the subglottal regions. So we are talking about the supraglottal region now. So you have up to the uvula, after that you have the pharynx, P-H-A-R-Y-N-X, pharynx. And when you convert this word into this noun into a descriptive adjective, it will be called as pharyngeal. So the sounds will be called as a pharyngeal sound that comes out of the pharynx, or the location of the constriction is the pharynx. And after that it will be the larynx, and the laryngeal sounds come out of the larynx, or the constriction at the larynx, which is a little different from the supraglottal structures. So you will see that the consonants are described by these points along the vocal tract. So these are single value points from the front to the back of the vocal tract. So these are called the vocal tract places, or alternatively they are called the place of articulation. So this is the dimension that defines both the area of the oral pharyngeal vocal tract where the narrowing is made, and the part of the tongue used to form the constriction or the narrowing, if the tongue is the active articulator. So we have a scheme in which vocal tract place will refer only to the location along the vocal tract. So the position and posture of the tongue will be treated as a separate articulatory dimension, so that the different tongue positions or gestures can be combined with the different vocal tract places. So we keep them separate because this approach is useful and is consistent with earlier methods of development of the description, descriptive articulatory dynamics. So we take these two dimensions and then we describe, make a descriptive analysis of the phonetics in place. So this approach is useful because the wall of the vocal tract that extends from the lips up to the glottis is like a virtual continuum. So it's a continuous place, or it's a continuous dimension. So there are these anatomical features: the lips, the teeth, and then there are some boundary areas But most of the tract, is especially the roof of the mouth, does not divide naturally and obvious is a continuous flowing into the regions. Therefore, the phonetic convention that governed the definitions and labeling of the articulatory areas owes more to this observation that these sounds tend to be made from these locations rather than the anatomy. So we are not actually focusing on the anatomy. We are just locating the anatomical positions as the vantage points, as the locations of these vocal tract places, so that we can describe these points, these 8 points, as locations and regions between 2 points, as being given a particular adjective. So that will describe the sound that is associated with it, along with the tongue position or the articulatory position. So now what I have done is I have separated the anatomy into 2 sections, 2 different streams of thought, which one of which is the articulator dimension, so mainly it will be the tongue and the lower lip, and the other is the roof of the mouth. So during using these 2 dimensions, we are going to describe the speech sounds. So 1 dimension is the place of articulation, the place along the vocal tract where these anatomical locations that we located are the points or the regions that we described as adjectives. So there is one question that someone has asked: what is pharynx and where is it located? So pharynx is the back side of the oral cavity. So you see that there is this larynx that is there, the voice box, or where inside you have this these vocal cords. Just above that is the pharynx, to the top, just before the uvular section. So pehle larynx and then you have the pharynx. So pharynx is the upper portion. So there's a wall at the back. The line that is there at the back is called the wall, back wall of the pharynx. So it's a very important anatomical position. So look at the diagram that I have given you, the mid-sagittal section of the human head, and then you will be seeing that you have already labeled it, the pharynx. If you have not labeled it, try and look at the diagram that I had provided and what others are doing, and try and locate it yourself. So this back wall of the pharynx is an important part, because that constitutes a straight line, almost a straight line, and is represented by a vertical straight line in a diagram, sometimes in an important diagram, which is called the vowel diagram or the cardinal vowel diagram, which I'll be referring to in maybe the next lecture. So you have to just consider it at the, so which is at this location, this part of the vocal tract, which is just at the back of the mouth, just above the laryngeal cavity, above the position of the larynx. So that back portion is divided into the pharyngeal position at the top and the laryngeal position at the bottom. I have already talked to you about these locations. These are the vantage points. So these are going to give us the locational advantages. These are the terms that we are going to use for our description of our consonantal sounds or the contoid sounds. Now, if you look at the table that I had given from page 91 of Sethi and Dhamija book, so it is also describing this dimension of the place of articulation in one of the dimensions of the table. So the other dimension that is there is the manner of articulation. And that refers to the second part of our system, that is that we will talk about in terms of the movement of the articulators. So manner of articulation refers to the movement of the articulators, and place of articulation refers to the position along the vocal tract, these vantage points where these dimensions is located. So you can hear this sound, which is a glottal sound, which is another type of location where, you know, sounds like H sometimes are made out of that, like A, A, Ka, A, Pa, A. So when you stop the glottis and close it and open it suddenly, so that is a glottal stop or a glottal plosive. So you can hear this, you can produce them yourselves and find out how this will sound. It has a typical symbol, which is like a half a question mark without that dot. So in the chart you will see that is existing as a glottal stop or a glottal plosive. So I think I'll stop here today, and any other questions that you might have, you are free to ask. Thank you very much.